Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Book Buzz with Susanna Greenberg. That's me, your host. And today we will have an author interview with Dr. Peter Strasberg about his new book, God, Gravity, and the Big Bang. How are you today, Dr. Strasberg?
I'm fine, Susan. How are you?
I'm terrific, and thank you for being here. I'm very excited to have you as a guest on Book Buzz. And just for a little bit of introduction about the book, we can say that The Hunger for More is an excursion into the realm of the very small, the quantum world of atoms and particles, and the exceedingly large, the universe with its awesome structure. And it looks at some of the most basic questions of our existence and of modern science. And we start with the question, Dr. Strasberg, why do you say in your book that the Big Bang is a myth? That's contrary to accepted scientific thinking. Could you explain that to us and expand on that a little more?
Sue, I appreciate you asking me that, and that's really the basis of a lot of the book. And it's, if you go back into the history of the Big Bang, it's really based on what the astronomers had seen maybe 100, 120 years ago with redshifts and blue shifts when they looked at the stars. And Edwin Hubble, who was the best of the astronomers, or at least had the biggest telescope, was able to see other galaxies and found out that they were really far away from the Milky Way. And when he looked at them, he noted that the further away they appeared, the greater was the redshift. And he, as most other astronomers felt, was that the redshift was a Doppler effect. It was the equivalent of an ambulance coming towards you with a siren blaring, and it gets high-pitched, and as it passes you, it gets low-pitched. So the redshift is something departing from you with a lower pitch or a larger wavelength, and therefore it was moving away from you faster and faster. And other scientists then said, well, if that's true, the universe must have be expanding, and if you go back in time, there had to be a single atom. And that was considered the Big Bang, the primeval atom that exploded. This was thought through, and a lot of thought went into it until about the 1970s when they had to add inflation to the idea. This was done by Alan Guth, because without inflation, the universe was too messy. It was too unhomogeneous. It was too homogeneous without the inflation. So inflation had smoothed it out. And then in the 1990s, they discovered what they feel is dark energy. And dark energy is a further expansion of the universe. Even though it was expanding, they felt it was expanding at a greater speed, at a greater amount. So a lot of these ideas to make the universe in a Big Bang theory needed inflation and dark energy. What I've been writing is basically that if you just look at a lower dimension, at a higher dimensional object in, from a lower dimension, for instance, look at a globe of the world, which is three-dimensional, and try to put it on a two-dimensional surface like the Mercator projections that we all had in our schools, you'll see that there's a lot of distortion at the edges of the map. And the North Pole takes up the whole map, and the South Pole takes up the whole map. And these then are really the causes of the redshift. The redshift is simply a distortion as you go from a higher to a lower dimension. So that's the basis of the book. It's not a redshift on the basis of a Doppler effect, but it's a shift just in the visualization of a higher dimensional object. So that's the basis. And it's explained in the book, and the mathematics is very simple. At least I understand it, so it has to be pretty simple. And that's the basis. that's the basis of the large part. Then it goes into the small, the very small, which goes on the concept that a proton and the universe are essentially the same, except they're separated by a dimensional, by the fourth dimension. And it explains that, and it goes into things like matter-antimatter, wave-particle duality, entanglement, spooky action at a distance, and it gives a visualization and understanding of why these things occur. It's not just the math. It's actually a way of viewing it and understanding it. So that's the basis of the book. Excuse me. That's why the Big Bang doesn't exist.
Okay, well, that's a good explanation and plenty of food for thought. And again, just speaking of food, the title of the book is The Hunger for More, God, Gravity, and the Big Bang by Dr. Peter Strasberg, who we're speaking with right now. And speaking of books, tell us, Dr. Strasberg, you know, what were your influences? What books or authors or scientists or other cultural influences were important to your thought processes for this book? You know, what sparked your inspiration? You know, maybe two or three authors or scientists who you either agreed with or disagreed with, but who were important to your process and why? Can you tell us
who
was on your mind
question.
When you were writing this book? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Sue. There's some very, very good basic stuff for the lay public, and I talking about stuff on the lay public level, because I am a physician, I'm not a physicist, and I'm certainly, you know, a cosmologist. But the books that I think a lot of people have seen, the Stephen Hawking's book, The Brief History of Time, and Steven Weinberg's book, The First 3 Minutes, which are excellent books, and really are written by brilliant people, and they really go into a lot of basic stuff, give us a lot of food for thought. But even Einstein wrote a book on relativity that was for the lay public. And it's very well written, which is surprising because he was actually quite a good author. Then there are a couple other people that disagree with it. Paul Steinhardt had a very interesting article in Scientific American. He was an early adopter of inflation, but he now disagrees with it. And it's a whole lot of other people. And finally, the Internet was a fabulous source of information. And currently I'm looking at a course given by Leonard Susskind at Stanford University, which is a fabulous course, where he goes over a lot of theoretical information about the Big Bang and about the expanding universe, which is really basic stuff. So there's a tremendous amount of information available for the lay public, which is really what I used.
Oh, very
so
good.
That's the basis of most of the things.
Mm-hmm. I was only thinking of the books, not online courses. That's very interesting.
Yeah, it's not even an online course. It's just a YouTube, but it's like 20 hours
like
long, and it's excellent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a continuous, like a 10-part lecture, and each one of the lectures is excellent. I mean, it's really very good stuff. So it's surprising how much information is available.
That sounds like a fabulous resource for lay people and for writers like yourself. So the title of your book is two parts. The first part is The Hunger for More, and God, Gravity, and the Big Bang. And so the book is not just about the myth of the Big Bang, but it's also about spirituality and belief. Can you explain what you mean about the first part of the title, The Hunger for More, and that piece of what you're writing about? What do you mean by that, The Hunger for More?
I appreciate that question. The hunger for more is really about a force that is felt in all things. It's a force of acquisition, of accumulation, of accomplishment that is felt and is what makes societies grow and evolve and makes people grow and evolve. And it's a basic force felt throughout the universe. And people that have a religious bent often equate the force with the concept of a God, of a single God, because it's what is within everything and is the cause of everything and why everything exists. And scientists would often equate the similar type of force with the force of gravity, because it's a similar type of thing. So the title is The Hunger for More, the feeling that there's always a need to acquire, to build, to become more than what you are. And it's seen by people with a religious bent as God in a lot of ways, and if you're more into a scientific bent, it's seen more as gravity, and that's really the basis of it. The Big Bang is part of the explanation, because I just feel that the explanation is wrong, but the force is there. It's the equivalent of a universal force in all things that exist, and that's really the basis. And the final part of the book, because it's really in three parts, is about how this is felt on a human scale. Because you go to the very large, which is the universe. You go to the very small, which is the quantum world. But the world we live in is a human world. It's a human scale. It's our societies, or where we live, the, you know, just the day-to-day interactions. And it the book goes into the concept of what math really is and how it's the language of science. And true religion, what it really means, that it's a search for this force. And it explains things like addiction and depression, which are counter to the force in many ways. And then finally gets into concepts of free will, which, although everybody believes exists, in reality is a charade, because the force of the universe is really throughout everything, and it probably things are predestined. But it goes into a lot of those things. It has a very hopeful ending. Its feeling is that to believe in something greater is essential for a true outlook on life. That's really what the book is about. Mm. But it has a solid scientific spine throughout the whole thing.
I see. So it's really a book of both science and spirit. How interesting and meaningful for your readers. Again, I'd like to thank you for being here today, Dr. Strasberg. And we've been talking with Dr. Peter Strasberg and about his book, The Hunger for More, God, Gravity, and the Big Bang. It's a brilliantly written book about science and spirit, the origins of the world, the Big Bang, and whether that is a myth, and what the hunger for more is about in this human world. So I thank you so much again for being here, Dr. Strasberg. And,
thank you for having me here.
Well, you're so welcome. And I encourage all of you listening to go out and buy the book. It's available at Amazon.com, among other places. And I hope you will enjoy reading it as much as I have and as much as I've enjoyed speaking with Dr. Strasberg today. Thank you again, Dr. Strasberg. We'll be signing off now.
Thank you.
Sure. Bye-bye, everyone.